click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
Now, last year, according to the Association for Savings and Investment South Africa, ASISA, beneficiaries of life and funeral policies were paid 39.5 billion rand in benefits. Let's speak to Gareth Friedlander, a member of ASISA Life and Risk Board Committee. Gareth, thanks for your time on Kaya Biz this evening. Just take us through what ASISA does, first of all.
Sure. So ASISA is really the Association for Savings and Investments in South Africa, and it represents the long-term insurance industry. It's kind of the face of the industry, and we have various member companies that we represent from a consumer education perspective, as well as to represent the industry's interests with regulators, with government, and with other bodies.
Like who, in terms of members?
So all of the major players that most of the listeners would be familiar with, some of the big life insurers in the country. You would be familiar with your Liberty, Old Mutual, Sanlam, Discovery, BrightRock, etc., would fall under the ASISA membership, and many others as well.
Okay, so in 2013, you started publishing statistics around claims. What informed that, and how do you put together that data?
Yes, so we've been, really kind of interested in putting forward, from a consumer education perspective, as well as representing the kind of robustness of the industry, really looking at the claims data that our members see submitted each year. So we report on the number of claims, the number of death claims, the aggregated amount of that's paid out by the industry, the percentage that's paid out, and also obviously the percentage that isn't paid out and some of the claims that aren't valid from a consumer education perspective.
And so over the last 11 or 12 years that you've been doing that, I know that the data and the stats have changed a little bit, but there must have been some trends that you've picked up on when it comes to life, funeral and credit policies. Can you give us insight into those?
Yeah, sure. So it's been really good news from a consumer perspective. I think if you look at the trends as well as the absolute numbers, the absolute amount as well as percentage of death claims paid out by the industry is actually staggeringly high and increasing year in and year out. Last year, we paid out as an industry 95.6% of all death claims that were submitted right across the board. And just over 4% of claims were denied or declined for various reasons, which we can get into. But a staggering number from a sum assured perspective, 39.5 billion rand was paid out last year to clients within the South African population. So a really sizable amount being pumped back into the economy for the beneficiaries of those who have passed on really to assist them in times of need.
Mm-hmm. And over those 11 years or so, I know we didn't deal with 2024 and we'll come back to 2024 specifically. But over the last 11 years or so, what trends are you seeing? And I know that because there's so many companies that you look at, they may not be as minute as possible. But are you seeing that, for instance, more people living in South Africa are buying a certain kind of insurance, or was there an uptick after COVID in certain kinds of insurance? Just those long-term trends.
Yeah, we did see some interesting trends through COVID, obviously. we tended to see that during the COVID period, for sure, claims went up. That's well
of
documented.
Course, yes,
there was
yes,
an increase and a spike in death claims. Mm-hmm. But very much in line with that, there was quite a big reduction in lapses or withdrawals from the industry. So life insurance became, very important for clients when they were kind of faced with the pandemic and it was in your face all the time. So we definitely did see that as an industry, that lapses did come down. And I think the important part now, as we kind of have moved post-COVID and it's less in people's minds and we tend to forget about death and everything that can happen because it's not confronting us perhaps as much as it did in the COVID days, is to remember how important that life insurance actually is for the unexpected that does happen. And we see these claims. Last year alone was just under 1 million death claims that the industry paid out across the board. So Yeah, it's staggering numbers.
Let's look at those declined claims. Actually, I want to highlight the number. You said it's close to a million. 873,825 claims paid out. If you are a person who is online quite a lot, like I am, which I'm trying not to be anymore, but that's another conversation, you often see criticism of insurers, and you'd get the sense that that is not the case. That it's over 90% of claims are paid. And I guess a happy customer's quiet. You're not going to be celebrating the fact that you've got a death benefit, because that's also a bit crass, you know. But the people who are not able to claim, 40,433 claims declined. Let's talk about why.
Yeah, I think that it's an important point that you make. The starting point, you know, I think sometimes the industry gets a bad rap about, because there's a often some noise about various claims that don't get paid.
Yeah.
I think it is important to see the numbers are very robust. Well in excess of 90% of claims are paid. At the end of the day, that's really important as an industry. You're just selling a promise. That's all you're selling to your clients at the end of the day. And clients should know that that promise will be delivered when these life-changing events happen. So it's been a really good performance. But from a non-payment perspective, so representing that 4 or 5% of claims that weren't paid, typically the major reasons for that would be around non-disclosure or dishonesty when clients are applying for a particular policy. It could be fraud. It could be some of the policy terms and conditions like exclusions not being met. So it's very typical in the life insurance space to have a 2-year suicide exclusion to protect the obvious risk of, you know, taking on a client who's potentially looking to anti-select against the insurer on that basis. So, you know, a suicide within the first 2 years would be an example of a declined claim due to exclusions on the policy. Not disclosing certain risky lifestyle behaviors that would have impacted the insurer's ability to actually give you cover in the first place or give you cover at the right rates. So those are some of the reasons that you would typically see. And it's really important for our listeners to be aware it's very much in your best interests to disclose information, rather over-disclose information. Even if you think it's not relevant, it can never kind of create a bad outcome.
Yes.
It's far more important from that perspective to have kind of peace of mind at claim stage that you've given all the correct information and that comprehensive set.
Yeah, those questions are quite invasive, though. I think insurers should sit and think about someone sitting in a call center that you don't know, that's not a medical professional, asking you these very invasive questions, you know, when you're signing up. I wanted to stay with that issue of declined claims. As someone who sits removed from those companies, but their voice as well, and with access to so much data, what would happen if you saw that there's a certain trend, and I don't know if you are able to see like this, there's a certain trend coming from perhaps a certain insurer. You're seeing a higher percentage of declined claims coming from them. Do you then intervene, or do you then say to them, "Hi, we're noticing this. Is this something that you want to look at?" Or your role is to just look at the numbers and transmit them?
Yeah, that wouldn't be a CISA's role to intervene from that perspective. Remember that some of that could also be by design. You know, there are different types of life insurance products. So if you have a particular company that's, you know, selling far more kind of underwritten life insurance products, you would expect fewer declined claims. And you saw that in our stats, actually, that we released. When you look at, you know, life insurance policies, it was actually 97.3% of claims that were paid out, whereas in funeral policies, slightly lower, and in credit life, slightly lower. So it often depends on the mix of business that the insurer actually sells, and that could impact the effective claims ratio at the end of the day. So it's not necessarily that they're doing a bad job, or, you know, you've got this higher decline rate. It could just be a function of the type of business that they are writing in that mix.
So I think from your perspective, this might be a difficult one to answer, but insurers can sometimes decline claims on theories of dishonesty. But I know in the last year, there's been a few cases where the High Court has said insurers must pay even if there are suspicions. For instance, if an insurer looks at a claim and can see, no, man, there's something that they feel is not right. If there's no police letter saying we're going to investigate this or believe there's criminality, whatever the insurance thoughts are, they need to pay. And sometimes they don't, which is why people go to court. I know there were two big cases last year about that.
Yeah, no, and that's spot on. You know, I think bear in mind the insurer will do their utmost to uphold fairness and go through the right processes on their side when they do repudiate a claim, mm-hmm. but they're not going to get it right every single time. And there are avenues open to the consumer to challenge the insurer if they do believe that a claim has been incorrectly repudiated. There's the ombudsman, and obviously there's the court above that. So for sure, no one is going to get it right all the time, and yeah. there are avenues available. And you know, the insurers will sometimes get it wrong, and then we'll pay if an independent adjudicator finds in favor of the consumer in those cases.
Yeah, Gareth, let's just go through those different policies that we've spoken about, life insurance, credit life, and funeral policies. And if you can just take us through what we need to think about when it comes to each of them and how we use them or what we sign up for.
Yeah, sure. So life insurance is typically the much bigger amounts of cover. So, you know, often in the millions of rands, and that's more what you'll leave your loved ones to, you know, cover their living expenses, effectively cover the lost income of the breadwinner to keep your family going in your absence once you've passed away. So those would be bigger life policies, and that would typically be more underwritten. And what I talked about earlier, you'd go through a comprehensive underwriting process. Then there's the funeral insurance space, which, you know, is obviously a very big market in South Africa, tends to be lower sums assured, more, you know, kind of about somewhere between 10 and 100,000 rand typically. And that's obviously to cover funeral expenses. That tends to be much quicker, easier application process because you need quick claims payments, and, you know, it's a different type of space. But that does bring with it more declines of claims, because I think it tends to be a space where people maybe take more chances because they know that it's quicker and easier to get a policy on the books. So we do see that playing out. And then the credit life space is typically life insurance that's linked to a bond, either a home loan or a personal loan or car financing. And the idea there is, if you have got a bond and you pass away, you don't want to leave your family with that debt. So you would attach a credit life policy that will extinguish the remaining debt if you pass away, so that your family now have that asset or have extinguished that loan. Mm-hmm. So that's really the different types of policies and the you know, kind of what you'd have to think about as a consumer when considering taking these out.
Gareth Friedlander, a member of ASISA Life and Risk Board Committee, thanks so much for your time on Kaya Biz this evening here on Kaya 959, just taking us through those different policies and what to think about. Really appreciate your time tonight.
Thanks very much.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.